Welcome to Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz, a candid conversation as we learn about dementia, Alzheimer's, and its effects on the people we love. Jill's years of dedication and experience help you adapt, recover, overcome obstacles, and help find a positive outcome. It's time for Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz.
Good morning. Hey, happy day to all my friends in Caregiver Nation and my friends with diagnosis. I am so excited to have my friend Carrie Johnson here with me today. Hi, Carrie.
Hi, Jill. Glad to be here. Thanks for the invite.
Absolutely. I had you on last year, and I wanted you to come back. Introduce yourself a little bit to my friends.
Well, my name is Carrie Johnson. I work for the Jefferson-Gilpin District Attorney's Office. I'm the Director of Crime Prevention up there as part of the Elder Abuse Unit for that District Attorney's Office. So I have an exciting life of listening to people's stories about crime almost daily.
That's one of my pet peeves in life, and it's one of the reasons you're here today, my friend. So we need to shed some light, because the people that are trying really hard to scam our folks work harder and faster than we can keep up with.
It is impossible to keep up with. And, you know, I sometimes say to people, you know, throw a little prayer or whatever for law enforcement up, because I don't know how in the world they keep up with all of the new things that are coming down the pike. You know, a scam will come out and then it will morph into four or five different versions. And how to keep up with this stuff is really difficult.
Well, and you made a good stab at it this last weekend when you had Senior Law Day in Jefferson County. You put that on every year, and God bless you for doing that.
Well,
tell us about Senior Law Day.
It was our eighth Senior Law Day, and actually we kind of devised it out of a law day that Denver used to do, and then they kind of stopped, and now they're back to doing it. But it also came about because we got so many phone calls into the district attorney's office saying, where can I get some legal help with wills? Where can I find out about powers of attorney? Where can I get information I can trust on Medicare and Medicaid and Social Security and some of these issues? And then we do crime prevention. This year we had a very interesting session done by the Morrison police chief, George Mumma, who did one on gun regulations and what, you know, we're allowed to do, what we're not allowed to do. So it's a day event, goes for about 5.5 hours. We have 24 breakout sessions that cover all kinds of areas of legal issues for older adults, and we try to get them as much information as possible.
I love that. And just so you know, for people who are listening, this show goes out on iTunes, Apple, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Spotify, etc. And so people across the country, if you're listening to this today, check your local district attorney's office for other information about how your communities are trying to fight scams and just general senior abuse and in general. It's so rampant. It's driving me crazy.
Well, it drives me crazy, too, because I hear about it every single day. But while I'm thinking about it, Jill, I'm going to put in a little plug. Those that might have missed our Law Day.
Right.
Denver has their Law Day back up and running. It'll take place July 29th at the Police Auxiliary Building. So
okay,
if they didn't get a chance to come up to ours, there's a chance to go to another one coming up.
Okay. And for listeners, I'll find information on that and put it on my website, Summit Resilience Training. So, Carrie, let's talk about mandatory reporting. I want to be a little bit specific here. I am a mandatory reporter because I work with people with different types of dementia, Alzheimer's, Lewy body, Parkinson's disease, ALS, frontal temporal, whatever it may be. And so when someone comes to me and says, I think I've been had, I think something's gone wrong, I expressed to a lovely woman just last week that I'm a mandatory reporting agent. And as she was telling me of some fraud that had taken $13,000 out of her pocket, I called you. So let's talk about the mandatory reporting, okay, what that means.
Well, we assumed for many, many years that given the nature of older adults, when they're victimized, many times they're embarrassed. They're ashamed. They think if, you know, my family finds out about this, that they're going to say, hey, it's time to go to a retirement community where
That's right.
They want to stay in place in their own home.
Mm-hmm.
And so we figured that there was a lot of older adult crime occurring that didn't surface and wasn't reported.
Right.
And so back in, I think it was 2014, we began the effort to get a mandatory reporting law. At the time, Jill, You're not going to believe this. We were one of three states that did not have a mandatory reporting law. It was embarrassing.
I believe it.
If you went to a national seminar, you know, and they began talking about mandatory reporting, if you had Colorado on your tag, you wanted to kind of take your name tag off real quickly.
Right.
So we spent the time that that bill got passed. It's had some refinements since that time. But there's a long list of people, mostly people like yourself, who work with older adults that are required to report anything that they believe might be elder abuse, physical abuse, sexual abuse, neglect, undue influence, and certainly financial exploitation being the big one.
Mm-hmm.
And so if they work for a senior center, if they work as a caregiver, if they work in a bank, if they work as a financial advisor, if they're clergy, all of those groups of people that will have regular contact with older adults have been made mandatory reporters. That means if there's even a hint that a crime might be going on, perhaps they see finger-type bruises
mm-hmm.
on the arm of an older adult,
mm-hmm.
or perhaps they
right.
see behavior that changes. They've always been outgoing and bubbly and upbeat, and now they're kind of a little more reserved. They are required to report to law enforcement. That's very important for
right.
folks to know, to law enforcement within 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And then law enforcement will make those reports to the district attorney's office within 24 hours. So there's a nice working together and a nice flow of seeing that these crimes don't get dropped, don't slip through the crack. And we have seen a huge increase in reported crimes.
I actually love that. And I want to make it really clear for people, Adult Protective Services has now changed their role where you need to call law enforcement first before you call Adult Protective Services, or they'll just refer you back to your local law enforcement agency.
And that was debated heavily in this bill. I had a chance to testify on it for mm-hmm. 8 or 9 times.
Okay.
And we just felt like it was extremely important that law enforcement got these reports, being able to discern what is a crime, what is not a crime, perhaps better than anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have just found law enforcement to really be on top of this and making good decisions as they pass these on to the district attorney's office.
I actually really like that. I think that procedure works well, because I think what happens is someone will be upset about something and then they become afraid for the reasons you just said, and they don't want to report it. They're afraid if they get that person in any trouble, they're going to be mired down in lawsuits forever and ever or what have you. I think it's the bigger issue is with something you said earlier, that they're afraid that if they tell a family member, that family member is going to say, oh, well, I'm going to have to take over your finances. I'm going to have to move you to a community, things of that nature.
Well, there's that sense if they've been scammed or they've been victimized, maybe they should no longer have their independence.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone wants to have their independence while they're still able to live that way. Just to give you an idea, last year, reported to the district attorney's office, there were 616 mandatory reports that came from law enforcement in Jefferson and Gilpin counties to the district attorney's office. But here's how I think about that. Before 2014, those 616 reports would have never been made. Those issues would have never surfaced. And so, you know, very few of those probably end up being crimes that are charged and go to court. But it just raises a lot of issues that many reports have come through.
Well, and it puts people on notice that we're not going to tolerate it. When we come back from our break, we're going to get into some specific areas of fraud that people maybe can look out for. We'll be right back. Hey friends, I'm excited to tell you about Pine Grove Crossing Assisted Living and Memory Care in Parker, Colorado. They set the bar high for person-centered care. They're locally owned and they focus on exceeding their residents' expectations while providing excellent dining, housekeeping, and transportation services. Their care team with licensed nurses are available 16 hours per day, 7 days a week, to ensure clinical needs are addressed as soon as possible. Check them out at pinegrovecrossing.com or 303-996-8000 and see how care goes into everything they do.
It's time for Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz.
Okay, I'm back this morning with Carrie Johnson from the Jefferson County, Colorado DA's office. And you work with seniors and people that are elderly that have fraud against them.
I work in the elder abuse unit out of there. And so here in Colorado, they are considered
an at-risk adult.
Okay.
If they're 70 and older.
Okay.
But we work with people of all ages as they're aging to try to help them avoid crime.
Okay. In this segment, my friend, let's get down to brass tacks. All right. I've been really upset. I mean, really upset for the last, this year, because I have to date, since 2017 began, received 4 calls from people who are claiming that they can prevent Alzheimer's and reverse Alzheimer's in people with early stage, which is not true. Listen to me, people. It is not true. I work very closely with the University of Colorado Hospital Neurology Department. My family's been in a study out of St. Louis, Washington University, St. Louis, where the person who runs our actual research trial is the president of the American Neurological Association. His name is Alan Holtzman. He is a wonderful, brilliant person. Dr. Huntington Potter runs the Rocky Mountain Alzheimer's Disease Center and Neurological Disorders Clinic out here on Colfax and 225. And they say that there is no blood test, there is no MRI that can prove a person has Alzheimer's. They wish that they could, but it is just not possible yet. If you are in a trial, they will do a neurobehavioral exam and they might do a PET scan, and they can today see Alzheimer's in a live person. But there are these whack-a-mole people that keep popping up in Colorado, and they tell people that for a mere $10,000 to $20,000 over an 8-month period with a supplement plan and a nutrition plan, they can reverse your Alzheimer's. And it makes me crazy.
Well, we are a people of hope, and that's a good thing.
Yes.
So but that the makes folks better. Who are listening this morning have to remember who they are placing their hope in,
right,
what they're placing their hope in, and probably need to do a little more extensive research, because people in today's world can make any kind of claim.
Yes.
There's probably very little licensing issues that we're talking about,
right,
with this. They know how to just fly under the radar of illegality.
Right.
And so they oftentimes make these really ridiculous claims.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're all sitting here hoping to find a cure for Alzheimer's.
Oh,
it'd be the best,
yes,
thing that could happen for so many people.
Yes.
But we'll hear about it should it happen, because some university that has real research is making breakthroughs. It's probably going to happen over time. But these pop-up, I just found a cure yesterday for Alzheimer's, are just going to be money-generating schemes to pick the pockets of older adults.
Right. And they prey on people who are really worried about this. I mean, there are several people in my family. There's people understand, I am not saying that good nutrition and using supplements can't help make you healthier or make you feel better. I take Thrive. I love my supplements that I take. And I exercise all the time. I try to, you know, do all the things I can to stay healthy. But they prey on people who have had somebody in their family that had the disease. They do geofencing, where they can find you if you Google any type of support or caregiver support or Alzheimer's or dementia. And then they start sending you letters. Just because they're on the internet, just because they're on 7 or 9 news or 4 news or any other place, doesn't make them real. Right, Carrie?
Well, and people need to remember, if they see something in the newspaper or perhaps hear it in the media, many times those are paid programs.
Right.
That doesn't mean that the station authorizes those programs or agrees with them. But if you've got the money to take out an ad, you can say anything you want to say. No one's going to check that out. People need to check out for themselves. One of the big red flags to me, and I know we were talking, Jill, about the situation that you're upset about, is how often these people right up front need a check written.
Right.
Yes, we'll cure your Alzheimer's with vitamins and supplements and a program that we've devised. But a red flag to me is right up front, they need a large amount of money. And my fear is for the older adult that writes that check or hands that money over, it's never to be seen again.
Right. That's exactly right. When I said they're not real, I meant they're not legitimate. They're not legitimate in their processes of being able to reverse those diseases. I wanted to be clear about that. But this isn't the only one that you see. I mean, this particular woman, we had to have her cut off her credit card so that this particular guy who was taking her money with these false claims couldn't continue to charge her credit card. And we did that, but there are a lot of people that lose money or they get their credit card number stolen. You see things like this?
Well, I think the last part you talked about is identity theft, where they would steal
identity
a credit
theft,
card and use
right?
that.
Mm-hmm.
But what is so prolific with the older adult audience and what they just need to come to grips with are these scams that are out there. They will always take different forms. I mean, right now, the most prevalent ones are one we call the grandparent scam, another one that the IRS is calling you, and it's kind of morphed into now the local sheriff's office coming out to arrest you. And the big one, I was working on a computer just the other night. My grandson was next to me, and the whole screen filled up. So your computer's been infected, and a voice was talking, telling me I had to call this number. And for a lot of folks, that sounds pretty legitimate when your computer starts talking to you.
Right.
But the problem with most of these scams is they're coming from outside the United States.
Okay.
And so we're talking about people who have a hedge of protection by the fact that they're not a part of the criminal justice system here. I was just showing you, Jill, on my break, that on my cell phone, in the last 2 days, I've had a call from Texas. I've had a call from Washington, D.C. I've had a call from some other area code. These crooks that are overseas will route these calls through a U.S. area code to make them look legitimate,
mm-hmm.
and then they come to us. In fact, when I do my crime prevention seminars and people bring this up, I'll often ask them, how many of you have gotten a call on your caller ID from yourself?
Yes.
Because if you don't answer the phone after a certain amount of time, the crook says, well, let me put your name and number into caller ID and see if that raises enough curiosity that I can get you to answer the call.
You told me of a scam a while back where all you had to do was say yes to somebody and they could take your money. Did you tell me that?
Well, it was a real widely spread story on media. Here's the problem I have with that.
Yeah.
They may have agreed to some kind of a contract, but what crooks always want is money.
Yes.
And my question is, if I said yes over the phone, how are they going to get money from me?
Right.
They need my bank account number. They need a credit card number or something like
right.
that. So they've gotten pretty clever. Like if they say your computer's infected, they'll ask for an access code, get into your computer, and then start moving around the mouse. That looks pretty legitimate.
Right.
And they'll say, well, you know, we can fix this up if you give us your credit card and pay a fee of $299. And so, you know, people do that readily because they are scared mm-hmm. that their computer has been
and
infected
especially
by
our,
someone.
Our seniors who don't recognize this, they've never said, I've never heard this one before. That's pretty doggone scary.
And when they hear the IRS is asked after them or local law enforcement, I mean, we're talking about the most law-abiding generation
right.
that's ever lived on the face
right.
of the earth. And they don't want to be on the outs with law or do anything that would bring law enforcement to their door.
I had a couple of those myself in the last couple weeks. We get them on our own phone. So when we come back, we're going to get specific about mail fraud and a few other types of elderly abuse. We'll be right back.
Living and working with Alzheimer's and other dementias can often be challenging. Summit Resilience Training provides education utilizing non-medical approaches for those who work with our friends affected by dementia. Believing families still need one-on-one assistance, we provide classes which help them understand the diseases affecting their loved ones, offering strategies and techniques for success with activities of daily living and working with confusing behaviors. We offer in-home assessments, education programs, instilling person-centered care philosophies are offered for professional caregivers working in communities and homes, which can be customized for their staff. Training is also available for first responders. We are passionate that people with dementias such as Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, and others are approached with compassion and understanding, and those who work with them have all the tools they need for success. Call us at Summit Resilience Training, 303-420-6988, to schedule a class or in-home assessment. Visit our website at summitresiliencetraining.com for more information.
It's time for Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz.
Okay. So, Carrie Johnson, we're talking today about elder abuse, and it can be a lot of different forms, but let's talk about some of the things that you've seen in your office or some red flags you can help people look out for.
Well, let me talk about identity theft just a little bit, because older adults certainly have a bullseye on their back when we talk about identity thieves. Right. I tell you a story that occurred not very long ago that to me is one of the more scary ones that I've heard about recently. And this took place in Edgewater. There was a surveillance tape showed a white van driving around the parking lot of a supermarket, and all of a sudden it stopped at the outer edge.
Okay.
Person in a black hoodie gets out, kind of jogs across the parking lot. They'd found their victim. She was a 74-year-old lady, and as soon as she opened the door, this person put a gun into her side.
Oh, no.
And said, "Give me your purse." And with good sense, this lady handed her purse over immediately. And of course, he took off again. So imagine going around the parking lot until you finally see an older adult driving into the parking lot. And simply because they're older, they become your targeted victim.
Right. Wow. I mean, that's just vicious.
Well, and it happens all of the time in terms of stealing purses and wallets, trying to get access, you know, to credit cards and, mm-hmm. and checks. Had another lady not very long ago who was going into a Whole Foods in Lakewood. And on a videotape, you see three people right behind her. They're obviously following her, but she's oblivious to it. And I sometimes say for older adults, one of the things they need to be so aware of is that distraction is an ID thief's favorite friend. If they can come up and they can get your attention and they've got that eye contact and they've got you engaged in a conversation, it just allows prime opportunity for them to be able to lift a wallet out of a shopping cart in a purse or to, you know, maybe even just take part of what's there. Maybe a phone that's sticking out of the purse. And so these people have actively targeted older adults. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we have to be aware of is the fact that they have no regard for people with disabilities.
Right.
If someone has a walking disability, if someone may look as though they're a little confused, it just seems to attract crooks mm-hmm. all the more.
Right. And, you know, I've had that happen myself. I remember one time I was in Michael's in Lakewood, Littleton, off of South Wadsworth, and somebody was following me around. And I called my husband, who's in law enforcement, and said, this guy was following me in the store. When I went out to the store, I went across the road and up a little ways to Hobby Lobby, and he followed me there, too. And so elder people aren't the only ones. You have to pay attention. And I knew right away the guy was following me. I just wasn't sure what he wanted, but I knew I was about to become a victim. So they have also like mail fraud. What other things do you see?
Well, we see less coming by mail than, you know, years ago.
Good.
But we still do see adults getting the check in the mail to be a secret shopper or because they've won a sweepstakes in a random drawing somewhere. And this is the processing fee. You know, one of the things I always want to try to remind older adults, if you can learn a few of these keys, federal law says you never have to pay one penny up front.
Right.
If you were to win a real prize, lottery, or sweepstakes, you get the prize, the taxes are your responsibility. But the minute they say you've won a 4-day cruise to the Bahamas and they want a $499 boarding fee, you know that has violated federal law and it's got to be an illegal activity.
Right. So I want to circle back just a little bit so we can pound it home. The woman who called me for assistance, and then I called you, and you touched on it, that they are very afraid to tell family members. This woman was 84, sharp as a tack, but worried about getting Alzheimer's. She didn't want to tell her daughter. She eventually did, but she didn't want to tell her daughter because of the reasons that you talked about. So please, people, reach out to someone. Reach out to your local law enforcement. Have them come over. It's not scary. The officer that showed up from Lakewood did a fantastic job. I want to give a nod to Michelle De Leon of the Lakewood PD. She did an awesome job making this particular person feel really confident and calm so she could tell her story. They're not scary. They're there to help you.
And I think whether it be local or whether it be a telephone scam or an email scam, one of the things for older adults to always remember is don't let the person on the other end of the line set the rules. They'll often say, now you can't tell anyone about this.
Yes.
Because if you do, we're not going to be able to help you. You're not going to get the prize. Law enforcement's going to come out even more readily. So they can't let that person tell them what their activity, what their behavior is to be. I've had scams where an older adult male sent off money, and the scammer had him convinced that the wife shouldn't be told about this because she would just stop him from getting that big prize. They have to make sure that they're not manipulated in any way possible.
Well, and another thing, the lady that I was just talking about, when she called to stop the scam from going on, the person that was is a doctor, but not the doctor he said he was and couldn't reverse Alzheimer's, told her she couldn't quit.
Well, and I'll often tell people, you know, when they get that message, maybe they've given their credit card number out, get down to the bank and stop that credit
card
right now.
That's
You're the consumer. That's your right. You don't want further charges made. Close the checking account. Stop the payment to the quack doctor who's, selling you kind of a bogus product.
Right. It breaks my heart that there's so much of this. And you are an amazingly happy and kind and loving, wonderful person having to deal with this day in and day out. I said to you a week or two ago, how do you go home and leave this? I mean, it takes a special person to have a job like yours.
Well, you're married to a law enforcement officer, so you know you just kind of learn those ways to leave your job at the job and, you know, go home and be a person when you get home. But I'm motivated. I'm passionate about this because every day, there's not a day of my life that goes by that I'm not hearing from some older adult that's on the cusp of falling for a scam or sending money off. And I know that's going to affect their life. I know it's going to change their life. And I know that money's never coming back.
Right.
So there's a lot of happiness in doing that.
Yeah. And there's a lot of good people out there, too. So we want to end this conversation on a real positive note that there are people out there. You know, I was grateful that this person called me. She had actually heard me at a lecture at Mountain Vista Retirement Community and had the wherewithal to call me and say, I need some help. And so I'm grateful to Mountain Vista for letting me speak to the masses so that I can actually help people when that comes up. But there's great communities out there, Colorado Department of Public Health, Department of Regulations Agency will help you. There are various sites where you can report, especially on the Attorney General's site, where you can go under consumer complaint and lodge a complaint if you have one. They can call your office. They could call Denver, whatever county you live in.
Well, they need to take that assertiveness. They're going to find nothing but helpful people at law enforcement. If they call over the district attorney's office, in fact, I'll give us a little plug.
Go ahead.
We have a fraud hotline, 303-271-6980. And if older adults or any adult sees anything that looks suspicious or like it's out of order, we encourage them, give us a call and we'll talk about it before you become a victim.
Awesome. Carrie, thank you for being here today.
Thank you, Joe.
Caregiver Nation and Friends with Diagnosis, I hope you've learned something today. And to all of you, have a good day. Stay safe.
You've been listening to Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz. Visit her website at summitresiliencetraining.com to learn more and join us next week as we learn more about dementia, Alzheimer's, and overcoming obstacles with a positive outcome. See you next time.